We don't give a shit about the guests. Come on.
I forgot. I work for a company now that actually cares about like the people they work with, so.
Oh, that's impossible. That's impossible. It does not exist.
Yeah, well.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
You falling asleep on me, John?
I was just distracted.
Oh.
I was thinking about how fall is here and now it's the end of the year, winding down.
It's only September. It's not the end of the year yet.
Well, it's fall. Fall is kind of the old age of the year. Then you get into the winter, which is the death of the year. And I can tell it's fall because I passed a hooker today who had grape colored hair. Remember how much fun it was driving down OBT and looking for hookers? Well, you didn't really have to look hard because they were all over the place.
I do remember looking for hookers to point out.
What?
Not
hookers. What? You,
well, you being in the truck with me, so I remember.
There's one.
I remember going to buy Christmas decorations with you one year, and.
Yes. It was in that same location.
Oh, was it?
She had like grape high C color hair. It was wild.
And what color?
And you could tell she was a hooker because like her hair was kind of like not quite right. You know, like if she was just a sassy black woman, it would have been perfect. But she was a sassy black hoe, so it was a little disheveled.
Was she a big gal? Because I remember a lot of them being
no,
big gals.
No, she wasn't.
Oh.
She was an average size gal.
Oh.
I think it was a gal.
Might have been a guy in
kind of hard to tell down here, though, because you know things are different.
Wow, so purple is the fall hair color for whores?
Apparently, I might try it out. Try it out, because when I was in the mall, there was a girl with purple and pink hair.
What the hell?
Selling
cosmetics. Florida.
I don't know. The new college program kids are here. All the freaks are out. Trick or treat.
Maybe that's like the new thing for Halloween. Maybe it's all like pink and purple hair.
Ooh. That's exciting.
Is there any TV shows that have anybody on there with like pink and purple hair?
Not that I've seen yet.
No?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not that I've seen yet. But, you know, I mean, this was kind of a week, W-E-A-K, W-E-E-K, just to specify.
Okay.
For the the returning fall season.
Well, it doesn't
so it can
really,
only get better.
It doesn't get full into swing until like this week, right?
Right. You know, tonight's the Emmys.
Right.
And then after that, they start coming back. So.
Has it always been that way? Has it always been the Emmys precede the new fall season?
I have no idea. I'm just stating facts.
Okay. I didn't know if that was like a traditional thing.
You mean like pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, like Oscar season happens. You know, everybody starts putting out their really big Oscar stuff for like Christmas. And then in March or whatever, they have the Academy Awards. So I didn't know if the Emmys were the thing that precedes the new season.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Perhaps we could do some research. We should have the interns do that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that we have interns.
Yes.
Right.
We're becoming a conglomeration.
When did we get interns, and how come I don't have one?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, with the government shutdown, we had to space it out.
Oh, okay.
So we had an intern, but he's Republican, so we had to let him go.
Okay.
Had nothing to do with the fact that he was black.
Well, we got you a midget, so we figured, you know.
I love midgets.
I know you do. I saw that video that, like, you were all over this week.
I know, with Peter Dinklage and the Muppets.
Peter Dinklage on Sesame Street?
Yes. That was awesome. I wonder who had their hand up his ass. Now the Kevin Clash is gone, because, you know.
Nice.
Too soon?
No, not at all.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so the Emmys always takes place the Sunday before the official start of the fall television season.
Well, there you know.
So there you go. There's the answer. Yeah, but who knew that Peter Dinklage could sing, huh?
Yes.
He could hold a tune.
He could hold a tune.
And I like
Can you see him on Broadway next? You know, doing Oklahoma?
Sure.
The corn is as high as an elephant's knee.
I do like the fact that they didn't raise him up at all. Like, he was the same level as the Muppets.
Yeah, but you know that actually means they did have to raise him up.
Well, I know, but like, because he was like putting his arm around one of the Muppets and like singing with him and stuff. And
yeah,
that normally doesn't happen.
Well, they have to lean over towards them.
Yeah, they don't ever have to just put their arm around him.
Right, but they have to. Yeah. But, you know, when you're a little person, they build you a little platform so you're the same height.
There you go.
Stare Omo in the eye.
I guess it was Game of Thrones week what?
You know what would have been better?
What?
They let him ride Snuffleupagus. Wouldn't that have rocked? That would have been so cool.
Snuffleupagus is a full-size puppet, right?
It's two puppets.
It's two puppets?
Two peoples. It's two people in there.
It's a head and a tail?
Yes. You see that on somebody's resume? Hey, and what have you done so far? Well, I must have snuffled up his ass.
Well, you know people that have been Muppet arms, so, you know.
Yes, she was the left hand of Elvis. I think that's very important. I think that's a great way to open a resume.
Should do a...
Not as great as saying you were Mr. Snuffleupagus's ass, but... Wow.
Didn't she also do Angel? Wasn't she one of Angel's arms?
She was one of Angel's arms.
When Angel turned into a puppet?
She's had quite a career being the non-dominant hand of certain puppets. Yes. It's a specialty. Heavy skill set there. Yes.
Okay. Well, you know. I guess it's whatever work you can get, right?
Well... Yeah, well, no. I mean, actually, right now, she is Abby Kadabra, who is, you know, the little good fairy in training kind of character on Sesame Street. And she's done it for quite some time.
Does she do the voice, too, or just the puppeteering?
Yes.
Oh.
No, she does the voice as well. She does all the toys.
You should get her on the podcast.
You know, if she ever slowed down enough, I would. However...
She doesn't have an hour on a Sunday to chat with an old friend.
Yeah, but how do I introduce her to you?
Say, there's this guy that I do the show with. He'll be quiet. He'll only ask a couple questions.
I'll try. I'll see.
Come on, for the show.
For the show. For the good of the show.
For the good of the show.
Okay, we'll see.
All right.
See what I can do.
Because it'd be interesting to find out, you know, what it was like to work as a... Is like on Angel or any of the other stuff that she's done.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Might boost our ratings. And then we could get some of those Amazon ads that will pop up and look, Angel on Blu-ray, only $7.
Yeah.
And then you click on the podcast and we get a buck. That'd be awesome.
See, that's why we don't do like Audible commercials, because you get paid by what, like, the people buying the books. Like, you don't get money up front for doing the ads. You get per click. And I just don't think it's worth like disrupting the show in order to make like a dollar. We need somebody that's like, just advertise. Here's some money.
Sure.
Talk about our service.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Very good. We'll work on that.
I think we can get the Fleshlight account, though. And you could probably get a free Fleshlight.
Is that really the audience we want?
Why not?
I mean...
You can try out the Avatar one. It's blue.
No, I want the Brony ones.
All right, I'm almost scared to ask, do they make Brony ones, and how do you know that they make the Brony ones?
They make My Little Pony ones.
My Little Pony fleshlights?
Yes.
And how do you know about this?
Because I've seen the ads.
Where?
Oh, you got to look it up?
Yeah.
Oh, are we going to take this turn so soon? No, wait, before we do that.
No.
Here we go.
Hang on.
Hold on, folks. Everybody get on the slide. Here it comes. Whee!
What?
Oh, all the way at the bottom. All right.
I'm really wondering how you know that there is a My Little Pony fleshlight thing.
I saw an ad for it.
Where? What porn site were you on?
Huffington Post?
All right, I see the picture.
Do you? And that, don't they have like the classic monster series too?
Do they?
There's like a Frankenstein. There's like a Dracula. I know they had a vampire one for a while.
A fleshlight or like a dildo?
Yes. No.
Because I know they make superhero dildos. And you can get banged by like the Incredible Hulk.
Do you now?
Yeah, that was on another podcast that I listened to. But... You know. So what was it called? Monster fleshlights?
I thought they were like classic monsters or something.
Monster themed fleshlights. Let's see. Wow, the internet, you can find anything on the internet.
You know they're good for stamina training? And they also come in the shower mount.
And look at that. They have
shower mount.
They have Frankenstein, Dracula, a zombie,
yes,
and a cyborg. But okay, I don't quite understand, like, what would the appeal of these things be to a guy? Like, who wants to fuck a zombie, or who wants to fuck Frankenstein?
You know, I think they're out there. There are some pretty wacky people.
Okay, I guess
there are some wacky people. They're called Christians. No.
See, that wouldn't surprise me. It's always the Christians that are the swingers and the, you know.
Isn't it?
It is. It's always.
As long as you go to church on Sunday and say, oops, I'm sorry, you can get away with anything.
Yep. Yep. Here's another one called Fleshlight / Freaks. Let's see what this one is. Oh, these are the... Oh. This is not only the fleshlight, but the female, I guess the dildos that they make. Because there is like a big purple alien penis on the page.
Yeah. All right then.
Frankenstein's has bolts in it. Really?
Really? Yeah, you know.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas now.
Hey, okay, so moving on. Do you ever notice that people of different racial types kind of resemble different animals and stuff?
This is better than fleshlight talk?
Well, do you ever notice that like a lot of British people look like dogs? You know, Winston Churchill looks like a bulldog.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, what's the prince's name? Harry? Is Harry the one who's married? Yes, Harry's the, no, William? William's married.
William?
I think William kind of looks like a Afghan hound that's losing its hair. You know, it's got that little thing on the top there.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people look like, you know, gorillas and stuff. But I was noticing because I was in Five Guys getting lunch today, and there was an Indian couple. And I'm coming to realize that either Indian women are really, really stunningly beautiful, or they look like Sandra Bernhard with a mustache. Because there were several of them, and I don't think they were related.
Wait a minute, go back.
But they all kind of looked like Sandra Bernhard. Yes, they were in Five Guys eating a burger, and they were Indian.
Okay,
yes.
I was just about to ask that. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's a little weird on its own, but...
Well, you know, just like the Catholics who don't eat fish on Friday anymore.
Yeah, but at least fish aren't gods to Catholics.
They're not?
No. At least I don't think they are. You're the wacky Christian here.
Anyway. Yeah. Hey, so what's going on this week?
Nothing. You want to do Emmy predictions to see if we're right
when this comes out? No, I have two topics. You get to choose.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I have something that's a lighthearted rant on the travel industry.
Okay.
Or I have something that's very depressing, an observation about our future. Which would you prefer?
Our future is in the podcast, or our future is in civilization?
Yours and mine, old age.
Let's start with the travel and see how far we get.
Okay. The lighthearted rant?
Sure. Because okay. I know that you traveled this week, so this has got to be something good.
Well, yes, it is something good. Okay. So this past weekend, I went up to Boston to surprise my mom for her birthday, had a little surprise party.
Oh, you're such a good kid.
I rock. I'm amazing. So I flew JetBlue. My flight up could not have been better. It was on time. The plane was clean. We took off on time. It wasn't overbooked, so there was an empty seat next to me, which is something I always kind of plan for. Even if I have to sit in the very back row of the plane, as long as I get an empty seat, I'm happy.
Okay.
Good flight all around. All right? Could not have been better. On the way back.
Uh-oh.
180 degrees.
What?
Not only did the plane change gates three times between getting dropped off at the curb and arriving at a gate, it was 2 hours late taking off because apparently three planes never showed up. That had me a little worried.
Jesus.
At one point, I'm at the gate with all the rest of humanity, and because it was coming back to Florida, it was oversold, and there were screaming children and people who didn't speak English and all that kind of crap. The woman who was out, who was working the ramp, you know, the counter service there at the gate,
right,
closed the ramp door and reset it so that the flight would show up as being on time.
Okay.
And then about six of their employees showed up and they were going to fly for free. And apparently, unlike the rest of us who have to pay for a goddamn seat, each one of them had at least four carry-on bags. And I'm not talking about they had a little carry-on and they had a camera bag and the girls had a purse. They had four fucking rolling suitcases each. Now, the flight I was on was not overbooked, but the back of the plane was pretty solid. So I figured, all right, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to pay the $30 for an extra legroom seat. And I sat in row number 5.
Okay.
By the time I got on the plane, all of the assholes who work for JetBlue had filled up all of the overhead compartments with their shit. Now, if I had shown up with four bags, they would have told me, I'm sorry, sir, you're going to have to check these bags. Let me take that away from you.
Right.
They're there in their full uniforms. They've got name tags on. They're representing the company. It had to have been the poorly handled example of bad customer service. Nobody at the gate gave a shit about any of the paying guests. They spent all their time chatting with their friends and the other stewardesses who were flying. And, you know, eventually we changed from the gate we were at to one that was like 17 miles down the other end of the terminal. So we all had to hike down there. And it's kind of like a death march. And everybody's like kind of jockeying to get in front because you want to get a seat that's got an electrical outlet so you can plug in your phone so it doesn't die before you get on the plane. And there happened to be that, you know, it just is the, you know, the thing I look forward to most on a flight. And that's not a single mother with a screaming child. It's a screaming mother with three screaming children. One was the infant tied around her neck, you know, one of those jumpy, it's a backpack, but it's on the front,
right,
kind of
right,
things.
Right. Yeah, yep.
And then it must have been a one-year-old and a two-year-old. I guess she, like, spreads them every 9 months just to pop one out. And she was with, apparently, her parents, because these two older people were like bending over backwards trying to get these little brats to shut up. And you can imagine 2 hours in the terminal with them yelling and screaming and crying. And I'm like, God damn it, if they fucking sit next to me, I'm going to get off the plane. So we finally get seated. And what does the lovely stewardess do? She upgrades Mom.
Of course.
So Mom with the child strapped around her neck comes up to the row right next to me, followed by one of the screaming children. The other one was in the back of the plane. Now here's where it gets good, because Mom actually won brownie points from me. Uh-oh. And something that was pissing me off was, like, as other women were getting on the plane, they were like, oh, they're so cute. If you need any help, I'm right over there in row 7. I'd love to rock them. I'd love to hold. My name's la 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 la. It's like, really? Could you muzzle them or something? You got a pillow? How do you make them shut up? Mom slipped the kids Benadryl.
Nice.
And by the time we took off, they were out. Not a peep.
Nice. There you go.
Awesome. But the one who was sitting in the back with the grandparents, apparently grandma didn't have the big enough Benadryl tablets, because that kid screamed for the 3.5 hour flight. But I was up front. I had headphones on. I was ignoring it.
Well, wouldn't you have done that anyway? I mean, can you ignore it when it's right next to you?
That's what I would have asked for a pillow for. To put my head on so I could take a nap, of course.
Sure. Yep.
But when I arrived in Boston on the first leg of the flight, within hours, I had a customer service survey in my email.
Right.
Nicely asking me, you know, would you take a few moments to fill this out? This helps us, blah, blah, blah. I've now been home for a week and have not heard a word from these assholes.
Because they know that there were problems. They don't want you to comment on problems.
Of course not.
They only want you to comment on if it's a good flight.
Well, and JetBlue, I don't know if other airlines do this. And you get what you pay for. Nobody's looking for the most expensive flight to get home.
Right.
You know, you get what you pay for, apparently. And it's even less and less. They have a customer's bill of rights that gives you like a minute by minute, blow by blow of what you're entitled to when they screw up.
Oh, nice.
So if you're delayed an hour, you get a $25 credit. If you delay 2 hours, it's a $50 credit, and so forth and so on, all the way up to if you voluntarily get bumped from your flight, you get a credit of $1,350. Wow. I'm gonna get bumped a lot more often, I think.
Voluntarily bumped, so you can give up your seat to somebody and get $1,000 credit.
Yes. Like, we oversold this flight. This person really has to get home. Would you give up your seat? For $1,300, sure.
Absolutely.
Throw in a hotel room and a bar tab, I'll stay an extra 2 days.
Have you ever been bumped off a flight like that?
No. I've had shitty flights where they'd had to give me a free round-trip ticket, but yeah. I've not been bumped from a flight.
Oh, okay.
But according to their customer's bill of rights, that after 7 days... if you haven't heard anything from them, because they're supposed to contact you and tell you, you know, what you've won. Tell them what they've won, Johnny. So I will wait until Tuesday morning, and then I will send my own survey.
Nice.
But it was awesome. I could not believe how the service could go 180 degrees. And nobody at the gate ever said, we're sorry. We apologize for this delay. This is what's going on. It was like, please be patient. The plane is late. As soon as we get it here and it gets clean and we turn it around, we'll be boarding you. So please be patient. Please be patient. Please be patient. It's like, and what are you doing for me? Huh? What are you doing for me? Absolutely nothing. F you.
So in their bill of rights for the passengers, you said that if you don't get contacted in 7 days, that's for anything? That's,
well, they are supposed to automatically contact you within 7 days if you had any kind of issues. So, hey, don't call us when we screw up. We'll be getting in touch.
Okay.
Which I guess is kind of nice. Sort of.
Unless they don't do it.
Oh, yeah. Unless they really screw up. But, yeah. It was... could not have been handled any more worse.
Any more worse? Any more worse?
Any worsely?
Any worse. No.
Any worse. Yes, any worse.
Any worse?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever. Whatever.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah.
Doesn't JetBlue have TV service and like Wi-Fi and shit on there?
They don't have. You got to pay for the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, how much is that? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not paying for shitty Wi-Fi. You know, to not be able to update my Facebook status. See, okay, so according to their Bill of Rights, if you are delayed from an hour and a half to 2 hours, you get $25 credit. From 2 to 3 hours, $50. From 3 to 4 hours, $75. From 4 to 5 hours, $100. From 5 to 6 hours, a one-way trip credit, less taxes and fees. More than 6 hours, you get a round-trip ticket.
Okay.
Now, if you are on board and you get delayed for 3 to 4 hours, you only get a $50 credit.
So if you're on the plane?
Yes.
Shouldn't it be like across the board? Shouldn't it just be the same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, good times. So I guess what I'm saying is JetBlue, you suck sometimes.
So much for them being a sponsor.
We don't want them. We want Southwest anyway. They have a sense of humor. Ding!
No.
You're free to move the country.
I hate Southwest.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
So I've never had a good experience on Southwest. It's always because there's no assigned seats and you're always racing to get a fucking seat. And then you always end up like you said, they oversell all the planes. So
right. It's
full and you have people that are squeezing in next to you to get fucking seats. And
well, you know, and that's another thing I noticed, because on the flight down, our flight back up, there was a family of huge women. I mean, it was the hippo scene from Fantasia. It was, oh my dear God, it's coming towards us. And I'm like, if they are stuck in seats next to me, I'm gonna bitch. Because don't you think at some point it's you're responsible to say, hey, by the way, I'm a fat fuck and I may not fit in this seat. So rather than inconvenience somebody else.
Well, I mean, there have been reports of definitely on Southwest of people being either tossed off planes for being too fat or having.
Then they bounce.
Well, having to pay for another seat. You know, I don't know what JetBlue's policy is, but.
Yeah, I don't either. I didn't see anything on there about guests of size.
I don't know. Because surely.
But I just, why should I be crammed in my seat and being comfortable because you're a porker? And I'm sorry that you might be made to feel bad about yourself. However, you shouldn't be sitting on half of my thigh.
Well, that's true. Did you have to sit next to anybody on the way back?
No, on the way back, since I paid extra for the good seat, I had two empty seats next to me. It was great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you were at the window and there was actually two seats before you got to the woman with the screaming kid?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. And like I said, because she drugged her kids, then, you know, I didn't even have to listen to those bastards.
See, this is why I hate air travel. I would rather drive somewhere than get on a fucking plane.
I know. It's like, I really like traveling. Yeah. It's just getting there that sucks.
Yeah, the whole flight thing is just horrible now.
It is. It's horrendous.
Because, I mean, I was looking at, I'm taking a trip next week, and I was looking at the thing on the reservation this past week, and it's, you know, you don't get a free carry-on and your first bag is checked. You have to pay $25 for the first checked bag, and then your carry-on has to be certain dimensions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, really? So, like, if I can fit all my clothes in a carry-on and it's just a little bit too big, they're going to charge me fucking $25 and I'm going to have to check the bag? Like,
yes.
That fucking blows.
It does blow, but they give you this information up front. And since you're an intelligent traveler, you've already looked into that.
Yes, I have.
You're not the jackass who's bringing the paper bags from the supermarket because you found a good deal on ham. And you're going to take it back home with you.
Well, that's true. Because, I mean, I don't think in the last couple of years I've checked a bag when I've flown. Like I usually do. Yeah.
This time I didn't. And I kind of liked it.
What, not checking a bag?
Not checking the bag.
Yeah, I mean, you get off the plane and you just leave.
Bolt.
You don't have to fucking stick around and stand in the line to get your fucking luggage or any of that
Later,
stuff.
Later, suckers.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully I won't have to check my bag, but I'm not looking forward to it because it's a fucking 5-hour flight.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Benadryl is good for knocking out kids. So if you get the drops,
yeah,
and, you know, just distract them and go, hey, what's that? And then a couple of drops in their drink and they're out.
I thought you meant for me. I was like, I don't think Benadryl will knock me out.
Well, you could get Tylenol PM. Take a couple of those.
I've never been able to sleep on an airplane, ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, even if it's like a red eye, I'm wide awake.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I get to experience every single fucking second in an airplane.
Which is obviously just, you know, incredible.
Did you come home sick?
I did not come home sick.
No? Because that's always like a big thing. Like, I always get sick after traveling on an airplane.
Nope. Nope.
Did you have one of those masks on? You know, like the
Japanese little SARS mask?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
No?
No. No. But I also was supposed to have jury duty on Tuesday when I came back.
Yeah.
And I got cut. It was awesome.
Did you go in and say, look, I can spot guilty people just like that, so put me on a jury, and they said no?
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
Nice.
I wore my Star Trek officer's uniform, and that and my Princess Leia wig, and I was...
Nice.
No, actually, my number didn't even come up.
Oh, there you go. So you had a free day off?
Well, of course not. I had to go to work.
Oh.
I had to go to work.
You have to take something in and send that you actually went to jury duty for something like
oh,
that?
Oh, I had to send in my summons to prove that I was called to jury duty. And then if I had gone to jury duty, I would have had to have... they give you like an attendance form.
Oh, okay.
To get paid.
Oh. That's so silly.
So, yeah, so I just went to work.
I've never been selected for jury duty either.
You mean, like, called to, like...
Never gotten a summons in the mail.
Be there and spend the day?
No. Never.
Really?
Yep.
You just jinxed yourself.
I know. It'll come tomorrow.
There you go.
But
interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, will you fly JetBlue again?
I'll fly whoever's cheap again.
Because at one time, JetBlue was not a cheap flight. When they first came out, JetBlue was like pricey. It was like the upgraded stuff.
Upgraded ghetto airline?
Well, I mean, it was better than flying like Delta or any of those at the time. I don't know how far it's fallen, but...
Like I said, the trip up could not have been better. The trip back, and it was strictly the ground crew. It had nothing to do with the crew on the flight. You know, the crew on the flight did their jobs. They were nice. I had a glass, you know, a cup of ice and a can of Coke, and I was happy, and, you know. But it was the ground crew. They just totally sucked ass.
Yeah, well.
And I think that somebody should have looked at that and go, you know what? You know, all these people have paid for fucking tickets, and you people who work for us are going for free, so you're going to have to check your bags, and you're going to have to load last. You know, I mean, I think it's great that their employees get a perk and are able to do that, and I would not take that away from them. But in this particular circumstance, I think somebody in management should have said, hey, we really screwed the pooch, and let's try to make this, you know... a little less confrontational.
Well, maybe when you talk to them, they'll look at it that way.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they're like, maybe you know what? That ground crew in fucking Boston is terrible. We should just fire them all.
That's right. That's what I'll just start with. You know, that ground crew.
It's not like on, what was the TV show about Southwest?
Airline.
Was it just called Airline?
Yes.
You know, it's not like them where, like, they followed it to the conclusion and stuff.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, nobody made an effort to do anything in terms of the local crew. Screw them. That's all I got to say. Screw them.
Hell hath no fury like a John scorned.
That's right. That's right.
Look out.
www.jetbluesuckmyass.com. And it's funny, before I took off, I tweeted, because I have 32 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
Hashtag JetBlue epic fail.
I think I saw that. I think that popped up on my...
You're probably one of my followers.
My feed. Yes, I am.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. I felt vindicated. There, if Kirstie Alley can do it, I can do it.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway.
Now, did you tag JetBlue in the tweet? Was it at JetBlue?
Oh, no, it wasn't at JetBlue. It's just hashtag JetBlue.
See, because then their official thing gets it, their official Twitter site. So who's ever looking at that?
Oh, I should go back and
forward. We'll look at that and say, huh, I wonder what that was.
Hmm. We should get a hold of him right now before he gets on the flight.
Stranger shit has happened.
What would make it better for you? Move the fatty and give me a bar tab.
There you go. Wow, you're cheap.
Don't need much. I am cheap. I don't need much. I'm not like, you know, one of these self-involved people who needs everything handed to them. It's like, just, you know, throw me a bone once in a while. I understand. Shit happens. You lost three planes. A little worried, but, you know, you lost three planes. Oh, well.
As long as they're not yours, it's fine.
Exactly. Exactly. Even a, I'm sorry, here's an extra package of pretzels, you know, would have been nice. But nothing. Nothing!
Is that what they serve? It's just pretzels?
No, they come around with a whole grab bag of crap.
And it's like, you know, $7 for this and $6 for this, or...
No. There's the complimentary snacks. You can get a bag with like 4 Doritos in it. Or you can pay extra for the box lunch.
Right.
So, you know, they have a tiered service level.
Have you ever brought food from, like, the terminal onto a plane?
Oh, all the time.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. nice big roast beef sandwich from Harry Carey's in Chicago.
There,
sure. Especially when my row's full. Yeah. Bet you wish you had some of this, don't you?
Uh-huh. Nice.
Yeah.
So you're the guy that makes the plane smell like food.
Yes.
Nice.
Better smells like food than the opposite.
Yeah, I know. That's usually the planes I get on.
Yeah, right. Or the planes you get off.
No.
No?
I only shit my pants once.
Thanks for sharing.
That's not true.
It was twice.
Yeah.
All right, then. So, hey, new TV season started.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch Sleepy Hollow?
I have not. I've been meaning to catch it on pay-per-view. Or not pay-per-view, but what the fuck is it called? On demand.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Hmm.
I don't know about the premise. I mean, it feels very much fish out of water.
That's exactly what it is.
Like cop buddy show, and... we've seen a ton of those, so I'm not really sure how that plays out. Did you watch it?
I did.
And what did you think?
Well, it was interesting.
In what
because
way?
Because one of the things that they clearly have decided to play on is my favorite card from the deck of cards, the race card.
Oh, really?
Because Ichabod Crane is under the care of a black female detective.
Okay.
And he immediately makes a comment about, oh, you must be free.
Well, he comes from like the 1700s, right?
Well, exactly. And he follows that up with, and you know, since when have women been allowed to wear trousers? And so I think it's kind of an interesting dynamic that they're going to not just ignore the fact that this guy obviously comes from a totally different time period,
right,
where you would not have seen an African-American person in any position of authority, let alone an officer of the law.
Okay.
And kind of, you know, educating him as she kind of defends herself, and, you know, she's a strong black woman.
Now, how do they get him to the present time? What's the...
He wakes up in a cave.
That's all you see, is him waking up.
That's pretty much it. Yes. He is on the battlefield, because apparently he's no longer a school teacher, and he defeats the horseman.
Okay.
Slices off his head, and then he wakes up at a cave, and boom, it's 2013.
Because I've heard that there's going to be a big religious overtone to this show. That,
well, he's buried with a Bible.
Well, and like,
and somehow the Bible has something to do with whatever has delivered him to the current year.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, I heard like the Headless Horseman is actually one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yes, he is. Yes. And then when the other three are unleashed, you know.
And that's the gist of the show. They have to stop the four horsemen from rising up.
Well, they haven't really said much. Yes. It's only been one episode. Come on.
I did see that John Noble from Fringe is going to be on the show.
Yes.
So Crazy Walter will be back on
Crazy
Fox.
Walter. Yes. At one point they're driving through the town and they see a priest on the steps of the church, and then later the priest is killed by the horseman.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure what that means, but I'm going to give it a chance. If I say I like it, obviously it'll be canceled, so I can't say that. But yeah, interesting. Very interesting. But speaking of getting all Jesus-y.
Oh, Jesus. Is this going to be the thing that affects us?
No. Okay. No, you didn't want to hear that story.
I
gave you the lighthearted rant, and now we're going to current events. We're talking about the Emmy and the TV season.
But I want to hear
the... Because the shitty future that's going to be there for us can wait for another day.
But it's going to be like 2 weeks before we can talk about it again.
Oh, that's all right. Then it's 2 weeks closer to that future coming true.
But what if I die in a plane crash?
Well, then you don't have to worry about that future, so it's okay. That might be a happy ending.
Okay, fine. Then what do you want to talk about?
I really liked Tim Allen's Last Man Standing. It was very similar. Well, actually, it was identical to Home Improvement.
Right.
Except taking place on a home improvement show and having three sons, it takes place in like a bass fishing superstore and he has three daughters. But this first episode had special guest stars from Duck Dynasty.
Oh, Jesus.
And if they did not try to shove Jesus down your throat this entire episode, at one point there was a scene in the store where this burnout kid who works in the store is also dating Tim's daughter, is depressed because she's broken up with him and he's sitting in a canoe because it's a sporting goods store. Why not?
Of course.
And he's very, you know, he's very upset that he's been dumped. So one of the guys from Duck Dynasty climbs in the canoe with him and starts preaching to him.
Was this just out of the blue? Like all of a sudden Duck Dynasty guy?
No, they had been in the store before and there was some comment about them being their best customers and blah, 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 and whatever.
Okay.
But he climbs into the boat and he starts preaching. And, you know, the kid makes something like, well, you know, can't pass good advice from the good man upstairs. It's like, okay, little heavy handed. And then Duck Dynasty comes to dinner And you know, they of course have to have a Jesus moment where they all go, all take hands and say grace. And it's like, wow, I may have to stop watching this show because it's suddenly not funny.
Well, you know, it is a Christian nation, John.
But, and see, it doesn't, it, unlike Tim the Toolman Taylor, he has different passions in this, and he's very American. You know, there's a whole episode about the flag and the flagpole in front of their house. And, you know, it's got to be flying during daylight, or it's got to be lit, and you can't have it up when it's raining. And ultimately, his youngest daughter decides she's going to join ROTC because of, you know, the great sacrifice our veterans have given for us, which is, I mean, great story. Kept it lighthearted, kept it funny. It was very amusing. And this whole Jesus thing kind of bugged me. And I've seen, and I don't watch Duck Dynasty, but I've seen either. Other articles where they're saying, it's like, well, you know what? If you, if you're embarrassed or you're offended that we pray together, then don't watch the show. It's like, well, there's a reason I don't watch the show, and it's not that I'm offended by it, but I think there's a time and a place. And anytime you put religion on TV, you take advantage of people.
Well, see, I know they say if you don't like it, don't watch. But if it had been Muslims, or it had been atheists,
or anything else, they would have been all over it.
Yeah, it would have been fucking the worst thing anybody's ever seen.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't. That shit pisses me off.
Yeah, it wasn't what I was expecting. I thought it'd be a typical kind of episode full of redneck jokes and bad beards, but it was like, wow, that it seemed really out of place.
Right.
And yeah, they may have lost a watcher. So I should say I love the show, and then it'll be canceled.
There was a thing that was posted 3 days ago that says Duck Commander Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty spoke to a congregation of Saddlebrook Church in July on why people need Jesus and why the founders would agree. And I got to say, it was awesome. So whoever this was who wrote this is a big Jesus freak. Yeah. I hate to break it to people, but we are not a fucking Christian nation.
We're not?
No.
Really?
The founding fathers did freedom of religion specifically because they didn't want to be, they didn't want the persecution that they found in fucking Europe. So it was anybody can do whatever they want or nothing at all, but it's not a Christian nation. It is a nation of every religion and non-religion. And like I said, if it had been, if it had been a show about atheism, people would have been fucking outraged.
Right.
If fucking Penn Tell, if Penn Jillette had been on the Celebrity Apprentice or whatever that show was and did nothing but spew his libertarianism and his atheism, people would have gone apeshit.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows when to shut the fuck up about it.
Right.
You know, and it makes, it makes me want to see another TV show go, well, fine, let's talk about atheism and see what happens. But I don't get the fucking Duck Dynasty thing at all. I don't get how all of a sudden these redneck people are like America's answer to Celebrity.
Some producer saw dollar signs.
They got posters and fucking action figures that are in fucking Walmart and shit. And
you know, if they could find a way to turn the people of Walmart into a sitcom without having to pay Walmart a penny, they would be on the air.
I'm sure there's got to be some kind of hidden camera thing that they could do. As long as you put up a sign out front that says you are being taped and that tape can be used for anything, people would still go in.
Well, you know, that brings up another thing, and we don't have a lot of time, so we don't have to really get into it, but did you see all the controversy about cosplay heroes this week?
No.
They went to a little fan fest convention in Kansas.
Okay.
And the people in Kansas were very upset that they had brought in ringers for their costume contest. And they changed the rules of the costume contest at the very last minute. That everybody who wanted to be in the contest had to sign a release form, had to consent to having their face shown on this TV show, had to perform a skit, which none of them had prepared except for Yaya and friends. And apparently, what they showed on the show and what you can look at online in rebuttal are two totally different things. But there was a group of 11 women who dressed up as the Doctor Who lineage. Okay. And they were really good costumes. It looked like a bunch of lesbian Doctor Whos. But okay. At somebody during the costume contest in a lull shouted out something about, you know, outsiders go home, referring to sci-fi and this production company. But they turned it around to being about the other cosplay contestants. And it was Yaya and the girl who did Horny Poison Ivy, and another girl did American McGee's Alice in Wonderland, and Crabcat Industries did How to Train Your Dragon thing. And I mean, they were very good.
Right.
They were probably better than anything that normally would have shown up at the Kansas Con. One of the winners was this group of three girls who dance at a Renaissance festival as fairies. And they really weren't that good. But it was kind of like they kind of forced a local to win just so they could get people to shut up about it. And it was very wild. It was very odd.
Well, but I mean, if you look at that, if there hadn't been a TV show, Yaya
nobody
Han
would know
and Crabcat Industries and all the people that are known for fucking cosplay would not have shown up to Kansas.
Well, and that's just it. But normally they would not.
No.
They were taken there by this production company.
Yeah. Because they have to find so many cons so that they can get dressed up so that they can have fucking episodes.
Right.
You can't build an entire show around Comic-Con in San Diego, New York Comic-Con, fucking MegaCon. Like, it just, that's not, there's not enough of them. So they have to hit everything.
Right.
But at the same time, you can't fucking, like, Crabcat Industries
is nothing.
No.
It's a couple of girls who make cat ears.
No, but at the same time, they have way more experience than somebody who has just worked, you know, on a costume for an entire year.
Right.
Like, they have more at their disposal than just anybody in Kansas who has to work a job and do whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I would think that fucking sci-fi would know better than that. I mean, especially in this day and age. I mean, it's a little ironic, like, every single show that they go to, that one of these people wins. Like,
right.
You have to see that it's not fucking real.
But people think it is, you know?
I don't
the
know.
The last vestige of geekdom to be polluted by nasty old reality TV. But, of course, then we have Fangasm starting. I think it's this week.
Yeah, what's that about?
Have you seen that one?
No, I saw a commercial, but I don't know what it's about.
It's more geeks. It seemed to be very much in the style of Trekkies, if you remember Trekkies.
Yeah.
The sequence where, like, the guy's talking about, like, his big party at the end of the summer. He goes, and last year a girl came.
Yeah.
That kind of, it's geeks who are gushing over whatever they think is the ultimate element of fandom, you know, getting to touch Patrick Stewart's head, or the first con they went to where mom made us Hobbit cloaks. You're having a flashback, aren't you?
No.
You still have your Hobbit cloak, don't you?
I don't have a Hobbit cloak.
And the pointy ears?
I don't have
one. Uh-huh. Go stand on the side of the road and thumb a ride to Mordor.
I don't understand why you would put yourself on TV for that.
Exactly.
If somebody came to me and said, hey, you want to be on TV, you have to, like, show the nerdiest thing that you've ever done, I'd be like, no.
Oh my God, that'd be so fabulous.
It's not
worth
it.
Let's do it. I'm going to show off my collection of lightsabers.
Yeah, exactly.
I just spit all over my screen. Okay, that's better now.
You need some time? Breakfast. You want to take a break to clean up your mess?
No, I'm good.
Now that you shot all over your screen?
Stop it. Yeah, so anyway. I just thought that was kind of interesting.
So are you going to be watching...
Cosplay.
Are you going to be watching Fangasm?
Of course.
Yeah?
Of course. I still like Face Off. I think Face Off is still well done. I don't think that they've... I was getting a little worried that they were stacking the deck towards a certain individual to keep winning.
Yeah.
And now she's kind of stopped. So maybe she was just lucky for 2 weeks in a row. But there have been other reality contests where the producers have kind of kept saving a real shitty person just because of either the drama they lead, or they're the prettiest or the most marketable or whatever. But
that's exactly it. It's them having to fill fucking episodes.
Yeah, but if you look at the people who've won Face Off, they are not the most marketable to begin with.
Well, no. I mean, Face Off is a weird thing because it's not like they're winning... They're not winning an opportunity to go work at, like, the big makeup studios in Hollywood.
No, they win a tour of a Krylon makeup factory.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
It's not like most of these other things that, like... You know, if you win, they'll do a comic book about you. Or if you win, you get an internship or you're the head chef somewhere.
Right.
It's here's, what's it, like $100,000?
$100,000.
And a tour of this makeup factory.
And you get a VIP trip to one of the 85 Krylon professional makeup institutes.
Yeah, that's not... I mean, you're there to show your skill on TV.
Yes.
I mean, that's all that is. And the $100,000 is nice. The Fiat's a write-off for fucking Fiat.
Right. Right.
You know, it's
and
not...
even like, you know these other TV shows that hammer you over the head with their endorsements?
Right.
I can't remember seeing very much at all being said about Fiat on this show.
No, they don't like show up to challenges in Fiats?
No, they have not.
It just must be like a sponsorship where they just have to like talk about it in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as obnoxious as other product placements have been.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're a makeup artist and you're trying to break into the industry, winning something like that, because it is short turnaround and it's, you know, they're trying to do their best work or whatever. But if they were getting...
And it definitely shows off skills.
Right, and if they were getting a chance to go work with, like, Greg Nicotero on The Walking Dead or Michael Westmore or one of those people, you know, I could see it being some really big competition, but, I mean...
They really don't. You know, you're not allowed to be V. Neil's second in command on a new film or something. It's
exactly.
Just, hey, here's some crap, now go away.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we'll call you when we do the, the newbies versus veterans thing.
Right. Yep.
Because, I mean, I don't know how much of a market there is for makeup people anymore.
You mean because of CG or?
Well, because of CG and a lot of the work now is out of the country, so...
Well, yeah, but there's still a lot of stuff that's being done in the Southeast. You know, Atlanta, North Carolina, Georgia, where they're filming Revolution and Walking Dead. And, you know, they've just wrapped up Burn Notice, which had a lot of makeup effects. And you still got Everglades being shot.
Yeah.
So I think there's still work. But like you pointed out, it's not like you're doing this competition to win a job.
No, not at all.
Just kind of odd, you know?
I mean, unless it's a Ron Perlman film or like, who's the other guy? Doug Jones.
Right.
I mean, chances are you're not going to work on anybody that you've fucking ever heard of before.
No.
you know, it's going to be go make that dude a fucking zombie. Okay. And that's all you do.
Well, it's going to be more like, hey, see those 75 people over there? They need to be ready in an hour.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I've given up on fucking reality TV.
Yeah, I tried watching. Well, there's nothing else on, so I really didn't have much choice. But watching the Big Brother, I guess it was the Monday night episode. No, I don't know. It was the episode before the big final episode. I don't even know who won. Did anybody win?
Yeah, the gay guy won.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we watched it all summer, and the last 2 weeks, I was like, I just really don't care about any of these fucking people. None of them deserve to fucking win.
No.
They're all horrible individuals, and I didn't watch the finale. I went to bed early, and I was like, fuck this. I'm not sitting through this. I can read about it on the fucking internet.
Right, right.
You know, I don't have to fucking sit here and watch them recap the entire summer.
No, and there was nothing interesting about it.
No, not at all.
It was a bunch of assholes behaving badly.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Welcome to America.
You know, the only thing that I wanted to see was them tell the two chicks that said all the racial comments.
Yes.
That they didn't have jobs anymore, but they didn't fucking do that either.
No, that would have been the best finale.
Yeah, if they were sitting there and said, just so you know, after seeing what you're really like on this show, you and you no longer have jobs. And here's the letters that, you know, said that you're fired or whatever. That would have made good fucking TV, but they're not going to do that.
Right.
And that just, you know, I think I'm just over fucking reality TV now.
It's kind of run its course.
Yeah. Everything's just fucking contrived and there's no fucking reality at all. It's not like real world where the first season was actually just following people with cameras.
Right.
You know.
Well, according to the Hollywood Reporter, Aaron, the 22-year-old Texan who took the brunt of the flack, said she was definitely shocked with how seriously things were taken. Some of the things were taken out of context, but either way, I definitely regret saying those things. I never wanted to hurt or offend anyone. Like, really? You're a dumbass.
Yeah, I mean, you know that you're in a house that's being monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anything that comes out of your mouth, people are watching because there's live feeds. You can watch everything on your computer, so somebody's going to fucking hear it.
Right.
And, I mean, CBS had a decision to make. They could either just show stuff that didn't relate to that, or they could actually own up to it, and they decided to own up to it. And there was, like, fucking disclaimers on the front of the show that said, hey, what they say is not in any way connected to CBS.
Right.
You know, and they tried to play off of it, but in the end, it was like, they're all just horrible people.
No, the other bitch, Gina Marie, who had something to do with beauty pageants.
Yeah.
She said that her firing was unfortunate because pageants are my whole world and so are the kids, except the slant-eyed black ones. I don't know what I'm going to do without it.
And that bitch ended up coming in second, I think.
Yeah.
So she got 50 grand.
Hmm.
And, you know, however much money they paid her to vote whatever way they wanted. And
right.
You know, they get a salary for being in there the entire summer.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Fuck TV. Bring back Big Bang Theory.
Soon.
Yes, this week.
See, I think it would be great if, like, on these reality shows that once you do get voted off, you get voted out of the country. Like, we send you to Russia or something. Like, here you go.
Like, the ultimate survivor.
Yes. Yes. Uh-oh, Big Bang Theory cast asks for raises.
Yeah, I saw that.
$100,000 an episode.
Well, they're making Jim Parsons, Johnny Galecki, and what's her name? Kaylee
are making $325,000 an episode.
Right now.
They're hoping for something in the $1 million range per episode.
They're not going to get that.
Really?
They might get a $500,000 an episode, but I don't think they'll get close to $1 million.
Yeah, and in other Big Bang Theory news, did you hear about the episode of The Talk where all the women were talking about past sexual encounters and stuff?
No.
And Sarah Gilbert said she realized she was gay when she kissed Johnny Galecki. So if you're ever wondering what turns women gay, it's kissing Johnny Galecki. Yes. She said she had such a crush on him when they were working on Roseanne together. They started dating. But when she kissed him, there was nothing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know there was some kind of... He's been asked before whether or not he's gay. And he would never answer the question, which, you know...
Usually means yes.
Well, it makes people think yes. But he's come out to say... There's nothing wrong with being gay, so why does it matter? I mean, and Jim Parsons, who is gay, doesn't make a big deal about it. So,
right.
I mean, why the fuck should anybody else?
No, and I think we're getting to that point in society where it just doesn't matter.
Well, did you see this week the Pope said
that Catholics... you're concentrating on this? Well, yeah, you're obsessed with that.
Catholics are obsessed with gay people? Well, you know, when the priests are fucking little boys, you know, that kind of goes hand in
Apparently
hand.
Apparently you are. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so maybe Pope is better than people thought.
He's better. Anything's better than the Nazi Pope.
Yes. Good times.
But look at that. Wow.
Yeah.
Where'd the time go?
I don't know. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter @DanceMonkeyPod. Go to our Facebook page. You can listen to us on Stitcher and Blurberry and iTunes and all that kind of crap. Drop us a line. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
The tribe has spoken.